Let the church say amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. I want to thank Brother Miles for his singing. And as I was listening to Brother Bell's prayer this morning, Brother Bell worded in his prayer, he said, thank you, God, for giving us nice, comfortable seats and heat in this place. Why would you not want to be here on a Sunday morning? We got heat for the cold. We got comfortable seats. Yes. So to those who are here this morning, we're so very grateful that you made your way out. And I see we have a budding TV star in our midst this morning. Sister Johnson, don't ignore me. Thank you. Thank you. So very words of truth. God is watching over us. Before we go much further, let us go to God in prayer and thank him for watching over us. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up. Thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and our strength. Even though we may not feel as good as we'd like to feel, we just thank you, Lord, that we're feeling at all. Father, we thank you for this day that you have presented before us. You brought us out from our home to your church home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for blessing the leaders of this congregation and their families. Thank you for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and their families also. Thank you, Father, for the weather. It may not be to our liking, but it's your weather and you call it. Any way you will. Thank you, Lord. Father, you made us, you gave us the ability to get around in this weather, and we're so thankful and we're so grateful that the doors of the church are still open, O Heavenly Father. Amen. Lord, we thank you for everything. We pray for the sick and the shut in, those of the, especially those of the household of faith. We pray for those who might be working today and are not able to be with us. We thank you, Lord, for those who are with us, but we thank you for those who, for whatever unknown reason or circumstances, they are not here today. We pray that they would be here at the next appointed time. Mm-hmm. Father, we pray for our politicians all over this land, yes, who that they may not make any rules that would hinder, harm, or hurt us in our worship service to you. Yes, sir. We pray for the service people who are standing guard around the world, leaving us the ability to keep the door closed from any hurt, harm, or danger. Thank you, Lord. We pray that they may be able to come home soon. We pray for all the soldiers and all the troops of all nations and all lands that if it be your will, Father, that you would call an end to the wars and the rumors of wars. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray and ask you to be with the families who are raising their children this morning. We pray that you give unto them, the parents, wisdom and the knowledge to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray and ask you to bless those who are considered what they call first responders today. We pray that when there's a bad scene, that they are on the scene first. And we thank you for them, for they save our lives many times. And we're just so thankful for them. We pray and thank you for the group that we have in the services this morning and pray and ask you to be with them and to bless each and every one of us this morning. Thank you so much, Father, for all your blessings. Thank you so much, Father, for all your giving and all your love and all your mercy and all your grace. Thank you for everything. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we move on into the next portion of these services, we pray that you be with us and watch over and keep us, and that we may do things decently and in order. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. This morning, I could have titled this message, Another Message About the Church. But I chose to title it The Importance of the Church. Because when we think about it, the church should be important in our lives. Because without the church, how would we worship and serve Christ? Without the church, some of us would be lost, totally. There are two divine institutions in the world today. That is the home and the church. There are other good institutions in the world, but they are not divine in the same sense as these two are. For example, there are good and helpful organizations that help many people. They help them to make it on their own. They help them. There are many organizations that are considered help organizations. In the world, though, there are none as important as the Lord's church. Let us notice a few important facts on the church. The church is important to Christ. There are several reasons why the church is important to Christ. Oh, and I'll tell you before I go very much farther, I'm going to try to get us out of here because I do realize that the weather is bad. And I'm going to try to cut this a little shorter this morning so that you can be inside. I know some of you may not be going home, but so you can try to at least get an opportunity to get out of here. There are several reasons why the church is important to Christ. Number one, he is the builder. And he proclaims it to be so in Matthew chapter 16 and 18 of our text. It says in Matthew 16 and 18, "And I say unto thee that upon thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There is a world full of man-made organizations. Some are doing well in their businesses, making their owners wealthy. But the church was here long before they came along and will be here long after many of these businesses and their owners are dead and gone. The church will make us rich in the Word of God. And we are not supposed to lay up treasures in heaven and not on this earth anyway, where it can be stolen from us, be destroyed by moth, or we can be robbed of it. Matthew 6 in verse number 8:19 finds richness through the words of God, through the word of God and in the church. The church is the bride of Jesus. Ephesians 5 in verse number 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." He loved the church, number three. He loved the church enough that he gave himself for the church. Ephesians 5 and 25. He nourished and cherished the church. Ephesians 9 and Ephesians 5 and verse 29. "Therefore the Lord has the power to add to the church." Acts 2 and 47. "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Man doesn't have the power to add anyone to the church. We can teach and encourage you to become a member of the church, but the Lord does the adding to the church. The church is important to the scriptures. There's no place like a Bible teaching church in order for men to learn the truth and know what the Word of God teaches about the Lord. It teaches us about fellowship and unity. According to Psalms 133 and verse number 1, watch the text. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Right. How wonderful it would be if more people knew the Bible and meaning of the scriptures. According to Psalms 133 and verse number 1, it would be good and pleasant if we could come together to live together in peace. Mm-hmm. We could learn how the first century saints serve the Lord in Acts 2 and verse 42. How after being baptized, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread in prayer. We need the church home. We need our homes, but we need the church homes that we may come together to hear the word of God being taught so that we may learn and then be able to share and teach it to others of that same manner. A place to share the word with others. A place to learn of one another. A place to fellowship with one another. And most of all, to show our love for the Lord and one another. We should not think of the church as a social gathering place, for it is about the serious business of the Lord. We should not be here to catch up on what's new since the last time we met. It should not be a place of gossip, certainly not gossip, and certainly not discuss the latest, a place to not discuss the latest Facebook news. We are told in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, to let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In verse number 14, it says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So the church should not be considered a place to go each and every week just to socialize. Oh yeah, there's some social interactions, I understand that. But we need to make sure that we get about the serious business of studying and reading and learning and teaching about the Lord himself and his will for our lives. Yes, sir, preacher. I'll tell you something, the clock is ticking. We need to be busy about the Lord's work, about God's word, and about his will. God's word has been given to us for a reason. That reason is to help to get us to our heavenly home. We already have an earthly home. That's where we live at now, but we need a heavenly home. All we have to do is follow and live our lives like we are told. And that's how the church should be important to us. Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and 15 tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God. Not to show off to other men, but that you may teach them, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, I've talked to many people over the years, and people will tell you in a minute, oh, I got a Bible at home, but do you study it? Having a Bible at home doesn't mean that you study it. It might mean that it's an ornament on your coffee table, if you have a coffee table, or ornament on your dining table. Just to say I got one, it doesn't mean that you are studying it. And when you tell me that you've read the Bible, I still ask the question, but have you studied the Bible? There's two different things, two different meanings there. The church should be important to all men. When we consider who the builder of the church is, there should be no room to consider any other church. But in verse number 19, I want you to go to verse number 19 with me. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now I know you've heard church messages before, but one of the things that I want to say to you all is we need the church. The church should be foremost in our minds. And to wake up on a Sunday morning and to look out the window and say, it's too sunny, I'm not going to church this morning, is not a good thought. That's not a good idea. Verse number 19 should strengthen the matter even further. Peter was given the keys to God's kingdom. Whatever Peter bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. And as well as what he shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. No man, I want to repeat that, no man has the power to do what God can do. Men who are in Christ have reason to know that the church has the backing of Jesus. The church should be a happy thought in the saved of Christ. For those who are still sinners, the church has the only message for them. It offers them the only hope for eternity. And why, you may ask? Because God who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth, according to 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 4. Where is this truth taught? In the Lord's church, of course. The church is important to all those who want to be saved. Watch in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Thou this at that time was speaking to the people of that day, but it can also be applied to us today as well. I want you to notice what it says. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and ask my and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive them their sins and will heal their land. Does our land need healing today? Yes, it does. And if we would just turn ourselves and call God and humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, then he shall heal our land and will forgive their sins and heal their land, according to the scripture. God will hear the prayers of his people. But first, we must humble ourselves. He can and will heal our land. Our land is boiling over with evilness, with no one caring about their fellow man anymore. We have become a loveless land, but thank God, for he is able to fix it. The vehicle is the church. It must be as a shining light in a dark land. It must teach love and truth. It must teach everyone to pray for one another. The church must know the word of God and share it with all men around them. And around this time of the year, people like to speak of love and goodwill and peace to all men. Why can't we extend the same thought year round instead of only in December and January? Well, the church must take the lead and set the example. If we can't love and forgive one and uplift one another in here, then certainly the outside world will notice that we are not. They say they love one another, but they don't show it. We don't need to love one another only on today, Sunday. We need to do it 7 days a week, 52 days out of a year. The church is important for all of us who love the Lord because it can keep the devil out of us and off of us. If one, before he decides to leave the church, will understand that he is opening himself up to Satan. So before one turns away from the church, he needs to count up the cost. The church should be considered an asset to the domestic home. It is important because it gives us knowledge about God's expectations of us to him. The church can complete our godly service to Christ. It is important because without Christ in our lives, we are lost, and the church is the place we go to serve him. And let's not forget about our giving to the church. We are to give as we have prospered. The money goes to the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us not forget about God's church, what it means for us and to us. And most of all, the word of God can work through us. If heaven, getting to heaven, is important to us, then the church should be a top priority. Let us revisit the scriptures for a moment here. In verse number 16 and verse number 18 of chapter 16. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now that was Christ speaking. It's his church. It's not Brother Carter's church. It's not Brother Burnside's church. It's not Brother Jackson's church. It's not your church. It's the Lord's church. And I also say, and I will give unto thee, verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, I'll tell you something about the church. The church must stay utmost important, must have an utmost of utmost importance in our minds as Christians. Because when we as Christians lose thought and lose sight of the church, we are in deep trouble. And I tell you one thing about the church. The church is the vehicle that we can use to learn all about the Word of God. And once we learn about the Word of God, we are to share it with others. Now, I know what some of us might say around this time. I learned it on my own. How come they can't learn it on their own? But remember, when you first started going to church, somebody had to introduce you to the church. Somebody introduced you to the church, and somebody suggested to you to come go to church with me or come by the church where I go to. And yes, they may have slipped up and said, come by my church. But I tell you something. When the church opened its doors, there was a death involved in the building of the church. Christ died to open the doors of his church. And when he says in Ephesians 5, where he talks about the church and the man and his wife, he compared the church as being, as he gave his life for it. And he did. He gave his life for it. An institution that's blood bought and filled with the Holy Spirit should be the institution that you want to be a part of. And I tell you one other thing about the church. Somebody asked me before, many times before, I would go to your church, but y'all don't have any musical instruments. We don't have music because the melody comes from within us. Supposed to come from within. And that doesn't mean you have to have a Florence Nightingale, a Nightingale's voice. That just means you open your mouth and sing when it comes time to sing. And Brother Miles does a fantastic job of leading us, along with Brother Jackson, who leads us from time to time, and the other brothers who leads us from time to time. But if they can stand up before us and lead us in song service, certainly we ought to open our mouths and be ready to send out whatever comes out, whatever note comes out, as long as we're in tune with, as long as it's in time with the words that we're singing. Now, what about all these other churches? Well, I'm trying to make this as short as I possibly can this morning, but I got a couple of more minutes before I'll close out. What about the other churches? What other churches? According to God's Bible, there are no other churches. It doesn't have to tell us that there are no others, because it already tells us what there is, and that is the church of Christ, where Christ will build it. So if he told us what it is, then we don't need to ask him what it's not. He already told us. Isn't that right, church? So when it comes to the church of Christ, and I know there are more prestigious organizations, sounding organizations, than the Church of Christ. But that's all right. Because you know something? Whatever comes up, God is still right. And when he said, up on this rock I will build my church, that's the church we ought to be in. That's the church we ought to attend. That's the church we ought to become a member of. And I like the Church of Christ because ever since I've been in the church, nobody has had to bring letters of recommendations to become a member of the Lord's church. Isn't that right? Not required. All that's required is that you be go down in the watery grave of baptism and your body meets the blood of Christ and you become a member of the Lord's body. And I know it's cold, but if there's anybody in here who needs to be baptized, Brother Jackson is willing. I don't even have to ask him anymore. I just know he is. The church will baptize you. Brother Jackson will baptize you today, and you can become a member of the Lord's body. And I don't know how it exactly works, but I know that when you go down, you contact the blood. And when you contact the blood, you become a member of his body. So if you want to become a member of the Lord's body and be able to call him your Lord and your God and your Savior, then you ought to become a member of the Lord's church. How do I become a member of the Lord's church? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. If you're already a member, but somewhere you walked astray, you need to come back home, ask the Lord to forgive you, and ask the church to pray for and with you if need be. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.